minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Angel, are you ready for the show today? We got like 20 minutes, 25
Always
minutes.
Ready.
Sending it over to the Rockies after this. Are you pumped?
Playing the White Sox. Found that out yesterday.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
It was one of those two Chicago teams.
We knew that was the case, right? Almost won the game. Came, you know, made it interesting anyway, I guess. That's kind of cool. But, you know, we got a lot to hit today. Okay, so Nathaniel Hackett kind of changing his tune a little bit. Here's Nathaniel Hackett a day later talking about the infamous play call to kick a 64-yard field goal.
You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were third and 15, I think, third and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it, to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on fourth down. And then you hit the mark. You know, the mark that we had all set before we started. We said 46 yards. 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision. We wanted to give it to, you know, Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but, hey, that's part of it.
But are we happy that he changed his tune? Because he was kind of the first press conference, he kind of stuck, or he said, oh, we maybe should have gone with Russ. And then as the first portion of that press conference went, he said, no, that was the plan all along, was to go for that kick. Now, of course, not sticking to his guns. Does that? I don't know, because then it's like, dude, we all saw it. There was part of me thinking we were kind of sticking with you on your at least sticking to your guns, thinking that was the call, that's what we were planning. But now you're coming back saying, in hindsight, it wasn't the right move. Do you like that? Is it good? Is it a good move?
I mean, hindsight is 20/20, and I think some of the fan reaction to this situation maybe caused him to change his tune a little bit. But he said it there, like, you know, they were going to go for it, but they hit the spot that they were going to reach for.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to it, yeah, your kicker is going to tell you how far he can kick it in a, you know, live or die situation. That's how far I think I can go. Why not try to make it a little easier for him? Why not try to go for a 55-yard kick or even 59? You know, that 5 yards is a huge difference in his confidence to make it from 64.
And still, putting it in Russell Wilson's hands against any team, but especially Seattle. I mean, I was thinking about this last night. Hackett kind of robbed us of the drama for that game. I mean, there was drama, of course, the Boo Birds, Pete Carroll, and all that stuff. But that would have been the ultimate finish to this game. Whether Russell completes the pass, kick the field goal, win it, or Russell gets sacked, or it's an incomplete pass, or whatever, defense comes up with the stop. There's the ultimate end. Instead, Russell's on the sidelines, and Brandon McManus misses the 64-yard field goal. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. This one still stings, man. And Nathaniel Hackett is being just absolutely dragged, man. There's no doubt. He's got to be feeling it. First game. And it's like nationally, everybody's going after him. What's Tanner saying? They're counting the timeouts, that the times that Peyton Manning called a timeout in his telecast. Everybody's ripping it apart. All of the big talking heads are ripping it apart. Local media is ripping it apart. It's welcome to the NFL as a head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, because this is now, you make a bad decision like that and it doesn't go in your favor, the NFL is going to let you know it.
No, it's just start out that way in this new era. There's been so much hype around the Broncos and Russell and, you know, Peyton figuring it out, you got the new owner, all these positive things, and you go out and do something like that, losing your first game after all the drama and buildup of Russell going back to Seattle. This was a huge game for him, and it kind of takes away from that, like you said, because we didn't get to see Russell have his game that we all expected him to have. He put up great numbers, but again, it goes back to the coaching decision to not give him the ball.
If and I know I asked this yesterday, but just thinking about it more. If the Broncos win like 5 games this year, do you fire Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, this is huge. This game, if they go blow out Houston and then go beat San Francisco, we're probably moving on with our lives, okay? But if they lose to Houston for some reason, or maybe they lose one of the next two, and you're 1-2 out the gates, and as part of the easy portion of your schedule, and you end up winning 5 games, miss the playoffs again with Russell Wilson as your quarterback, I mean, are you talking moving on? A lot of people rolling their eyes right now, but that decision was so bad, you can recover from it. And I actually think he will. I think the Broncos will recover from this. You don't fumble it twice there, and I know all that. It's probably a blowout. You probably end up running away with this game because I don't have confidence in Geno Smith in the second half of that game. He didn't make any adjustments. The defense did. He didn't do anything, really, in the second half of that game. So you marched right down the field on him in the first possession. If you score there, you're up. Things change. That game changes. So I'm confident things will turn around. I think this is a good team. I do. I don't know if they're as good as I initially thought, but I think they're still a playoff team. I could see this team putting it together. It's unfortunate that they used the Seattle game as a preseason game. There's some arrogance there that I'm not crazy about. But I still think that the game plan, especially in that second half, would have worked. But how many penalties did we say? 4 million?
A lot.
A lot of penalties, false starts that take a touchdown off the board. I mean, all these things happen in that game, and they still lose by one. Seattle, Brady. It's an NFL team. Look at some of the spreads over the weekend. It's not like they're... How many blowouts were there? We don't see that a lot. And the fact that the Broncos were close... I mean, yeah, we saw the Bills, Rams blowout. How many close games do we have, though? So the fact that they were in that... But, again, the question is, if they don't recover, you're freaking out at the end of the season. You just got Russell. And I know it's the long game with Russell. We're playing it out. We're going to build around him. But this team won six games last year, 6 or 7. And you can't be 3 games better with Russell Wilson as your quarterback. He put up the numbers. I mean, after seeing Sunday's game or Monday night's game, there's nothing that leads me to believe that Russell Wilson's not going to put up those kind of numbers every single week. Hell, he didn't target a wide receiver until like late in the second quarter. So that's not going to be the norm. This game was viewed as a preseason game, maybe not literally to them, but that's how it felt. They viewed this game as, all right, we're shaking the rust off in this game. We'll beat them while we shake the rust off. And that is a big problem. That is a terrible way to start your tenure as a Denver Broncos head coach.
Yeah, and every team has struggles week one because it's still week one. It's your first full game speed, you know, reps, coaching, adjustments, all of that's happening in real time. It's not just, oh, we can work on this in practice next week or get ready for the next preseason game. It's real. Every snap counts at this point. And sloppy mistakes, communication issues, false starts, penalties, all that goes into what you didn't get out of the preseason.
Do you think he'll do it differently next year in the preseason? The argument won't be the same because they had a season under Russell Wilson with this line. So I wonder if he'll do it differently. Or does he stick to his guns? Is Nathaniel Hackett the kind of guy that's going to stick to his guns? Listen, I love this guy. I do. I think he's a great guy. He obviously knows a ton about football. You don't get to that level as an offensive coordinator for the Packers if you don't know a lot about football. But the reason Broncos country is still feeling this one is because we just did this for 3 years under Vic Fangio. You alluded to, you were talking about the Monday night game when they started the season, was it 2 years ago against Tennessee? And Vic forgot about his timeouts, like not calling any timeouts. Didn't give his team enough time to drive down the field and score and go win the game. This is in that same arena, same kind of stuff with a new coach. Now, unlike Vic Fangio, who was, what, in his 60s when they hired him? I kind of thought, this is who he is. Is he going to be learning how to be a better head coach at the age of 60? I'm not trying to knock anybody that's you know, in their 60s coaching and do obviously Pete Carroll, but that was his first head coaching job. Well, how much are you really going to grow with this guy? How long is he really going to be a head coach? Nathaniel Hackett, on the other hand, young guy that will learn from his mistakes. I also, you know, you hope he doesn't get gun shy and not go for it a lot, not stay aggressive. We'll see how this changes him. Because that was such a bad decision that it's one of those things, man, that could rock you big time in how you do things. Look at John Elway, dude. He drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. And because of that failure, he wouldn't even look at Josh Allen. And it screwed up the franchise. Now, Bradley Chubb, okay, maybe he's going to turn out to be an okay player, but I think we can all agree today we would rather have Josh Allen as a starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos over pretty much anybody in the league. That decision that failed screwed up how John Elway did his job. Will this stuff that just happened screw up how Nathaniel Hackett does his job? And then this other thing I'm hearing too, and this is various media outlets, the timeouts that he called late in the game when it's over, he has two left and all they got to do is kneel it. The national perception was that he forgot he had only two timeouts. And so he was asked about that, and he basically said, I was kind of trying to convince the ref we had three. And then he was asked again, like, seriously? And yeah. So if he forgot that he had timeouts, bad. If he was trying to convince the official that he had three, maybe worse. Trying to cheat.
I mean, doesn't
trying to pull CU Buffs.
Official have like a little card in his pocket that he, yeah. Okay, you have one tally mark, two tally, okay, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
One more timeout.
They have it, I'm sure
it's on a scoreboard
it's
somewhere
up there.
In the
it's
stadium.
All over the place. I mean,
there's some assistant water boy that has a, hey, Jimmy, keep track of these timeouts.
Yes, exactly.
That's,
I mean, it's,
that's interesting.
That again, I don't know if he was joking, but I just hope all that stuff doesn't change the way, like, I like him being aggressive and going for it early. I like that kind of stuff. If it would have been a 60-yard field goal attempt, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with a 60-yard field goal attempt. Are we? Are we okay with that?
Well, yeah, if he makes it. And like I said, if Brandon McManus says, I could probably hit it from 64.
Which he had the distance.
Okay, let's get you to 60.
Let's get a first
down.
So you
can get comfortable. That way you know you have the leg to get it up and through the upright.
Let's get a first down again. This is a decision that's going to haunt him for a while, but could dissolve, not go away, but dissolve if they beat Houston and then they beat San Francisco, and maybe we're not talking about it as much.
Yeah, winning in the NFL solves everything almost.
We forget. I mean, this is
2 months from now, if they're, you know, deep in the playoff race, maybe two, three losses at this point, you're not going to care about week one.
We do this every year, and none of us learn our lesson. We don't. It's just college football and the NFL. It's the one sport where we just forget everything that happened. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is done. Oh, boy, the Vikings are probably Super Bowl champs now. The Broncos are cooked. This thing's done. Russell Wilson's not going to cook. Oh, Seattle's suddenly. Geno Smith. They wrote him off. He didn't write back. Sounds like a Jerry Seinfeld joke. But this is what we do. And what happens? 3 weeks later, we're not talking about the Steelers beating the Bengals in a crazy overtime game. We're not talking about any of this stuff. We're not talking about going for it on a you're kicking a 64-yard field goal. We will talk about it if the Broncos end up winning just five games. We will go back to that and say that set the tone for the rest of the season.
The thing is, all the players and coaches, they're on to Houston right now, and we're still talking about Monday night. Like, maybe we need to take a tip from the players and the coaches that, all right, let's give 24 hours, get our thoughts out, and move on.
They keep saying,
it's a 17-game season.
Do you see
you
Pete Carroll?
Time.
Do you see Pete Carroll's comments about the timeouts?
Mm-mm.
He's like, oh, good, it just felt like we won three times. Yeah, let him call that timeout. We kneeled it, thought we won. Oh, we called it again. Oh, we kneeled it, thought we won. So we kind of felt like we won it three times.
You can never practice a kneel down enough. You know, it's a lot of pressure. It's quick. It happens fast.
You got to practice that. Like, a lot of people hate Pete Carroll. Either love him or hate him. I don't really hate him. I was pretty annoyed with that, though. That response. But he probably deserves it. Nathaniel Hackett probably deserves it. 20 minutes after the hour. We got about 10 minutes here, and then we're going to send it over to Jack Corrigan and Jerry Schimmel as they'll bring you some Rockies coverage. Hey, the one interesting thing with the Rockies, can they get 72? I predicted 72 wins. Can we get there? There is still a very realistic chance that they get there. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, some pretty significant CSU news yesterday. Kevin Lytle reported with the Coloradoan. We'll get more on this tomorrow for sure. But Colorado State football receiver Dante Wright is leaving the Rams. He's entering the transfer portal. I mean, he was a former freshman All-American, 5'8" senior. I mean, he was Dante was one of those guys, man. I mean, he was with Bobo, he was with Adazio. I feel bad for him because, you know, he had his run was great with Bobo. I mean, he was outstanding. He had 57 catches for 805 yards and 4 touchdowns as a freshman in 2019 under Mike Bobo. And then when Bobo was fired, he was with Adazio, and that didn't really work. I mean, he had 540 receiving yards last season. He played in 8 games. Apparently not fitting in with Jay Norvell's system. I'm not sure. I mean, he's a smaller receiver, and I know ultimately they want guys that kind of look more like receivers, like big-time wide receivers, bigger, taller guys, longer guys. So is that a red flag that not only a good player but a beloved kind of player? I mean, Ellison Hubbard, I mean, we see this now, but Ellison Hubbard, my guy, one of my friends, you know, he was a beloved Ram. His production was going down, but he was a beloved Ram last year. So when he transferred out, it was, wow, can't get along with this coaching staff. So then you look at Dante Wright, who is a fan favorite. He's one of their guys coming in that was with CSU for a while, and now he's entered the transfer portal.
No, it's interesting, and obviously we see this a lot more often now in college football with the transfer portal and, you know, not going into his situation, whatever it is, if it's coaching, if it's communication, if it's family, whatever, we're not going to speculate. But you never want to take away an opportunity for someone to better themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and if he can get an opportunity somewhere else, more power to him.
This is why I do like the transfer portal, because Dante didn't, I mean, last 2 games, we didn't really see him. So this is an opportunity for him, a good player, to go find somewhere else to play football. This is why I do like it. He doesn't seem to fit with Norvell's system. And now he's moving on. So, interesting. Our poll question today, and maybe we'll get more into it tomorrow, Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will Carl Durrell be the head coach for the Buffs next season? And I did put an extra option on there today, Angel. Will he survive this season?
I don't think so.
You don't think he'll survive this season?
Mm-mm. Oof. I think they're gonna take a beating in Minnesota this weekend.
Oof.
It's just a matter of how many more losses is it going to take and how bad the performance is going to be. From what I've seen, he's still undecided on a starting quarterback at this point.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Get a guy, name him, build around him, build him up, go. What are we doing here? At some point, you just got to call it what it is. You don't have great quarterbacks on your roster. Pick a starter and go with him. JT Shrout, Brendan Lewis, I don't care. Cordell Stewart, don't care.
You can do it.
Yeah. I'll go out there and play. I have a year left of eligibility. 63% saying no, he won't be the head coach. 18% saying he's not even going to last the season. Dang. That happened quickly. Seems like a long time ago he was the Pac-12 coach of the year, but that was the COVID year. We do remember. All right, that will do it for us. Look, just like that, Angel. Wow. That is a show, as they say, in the business. We've got Rockies coverage coming up next with our guy, Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan. Always look forward to that broadcast. We're tracking 72, so we're excited about that. It's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.